Well, good morning. My name is Keith Meyer, and I'm so glad to be with you this morning as we're in the middle of this sermon series called Road Trips. And we've been going through this the past couple of weeks, and we're going to continue on our road trip today on a topic called expecting delays. And, you know, when you think about expecting delays, I mean, that it's kind of doesn't really work together because I don't want to expect a delay. I want there to be me getting from point A to point B as fast as I can. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm planning a trip, I'm always, you know, thinking about, you know, how quickly can I get there? I'm looking at the fastest route. Whenever I was going to seminary, I used to live in Springfield, Missouri, and it used to take 12 hours for me to get from Springfield, Missouri back to my parents' house. And it was always my goal to try to beat my last time. And I think the quickest that I ever got was 11 hours and 45 minutes. And sometimes I'd be a little bit more. And, you know, anyway, so I just kind of get frustrated whenever I would experience delays. And so when I was on my, you know, trip there, I wasn't expecting any delays. I was thinking I was going to get from point A to point B as fast as I could. And every one of you have been on trips, and you don't expect delays. But the reality is that when you plan a trip, when you go on a trip, there will be delays. But it's how you handle the delays, it's how you choose to reroute is what's important in order to get there. Because, you know, reality is you have a goal. You want to get to that place, whether it's the beach, whether it's the Grand Canyon, whether it's, you know, visiting the mountains. You have an ultimate goal that you're trying to get towards. And so you know that if you keep your eyes upon the goal, you keep your eyes on where you're going, that you can handle the delays whenever they come. But the reality is that we live in real life, and we have a lot less patience. And if you're like me, you get very impatient on the road or just whenever you have delays. And but the reality is that, and when you look at the end of everything, when you look at the ultimate goal of our lives, you know, with our whole thing is to know Jesus and get to heaven, and some of the little details in the end is not really going to matter. And today I just want to encourage you that when the delays come, that it's okay, that it's just a part of the journey, and that if you can just, you know, roll with the punches, sometimes you're going to get where God wants you to be. We also have the message that we've been going through, not just the message, but the scripture that we've been going through is a mandate that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And to teach the new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And he said, be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. So Jesus was the one that gave them the mandate. Jesus was the one who told them that they needed to go. So now they have to get in the car and they've got to go. They've got to go towards the mission that God has for them. But the reality is that also whenever he told them about going, he also told them to wait. He told them in Acts 1:8 to wait in Jerusalem. And also whenever the disciples were asking him about, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? What did he say? He's like, it's not for you to know the times and the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. So he was telling them that, you know what, there's still going to be some delays. You know, they've been waiting all these like hundreds of years for God to restore the kingdom back to Israel. And they were thinking, finally, now Jesus is going to do it. Finally, he's going to get the kingdom back. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, wait. And then they're like, oh, another delay. another, well, you know, when is things are going to happen? And so he was already preparing them, letting them know that they're going to have to wait. So when he said to them, you have to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. So in order for them to get this trip, get where God wanted them to be, They couldn't do it in their own strength. They couldn't do it in their own power. They had to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but whenever I try to do things in my own way, in my own plans, in my own powers, I'm never going to get things accomplished the way that I want to accomplish them. And God knew the same thing about the disciples. There was no way they were going to be able to accomplish the mission unless they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. So he wanted to let them know, hey, it's okay that you delay. It's okay that you wait. It's okay that you don't get to go on the mission right away, because once you get the power, you're not going to stop. That you're going to just keep on going, and no matter what comes your way, no matter the persecutions, no matter what people think about you, you're going to continue to go on the mission, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit giving you that passion, giving you that guidance. And so the delay was actually a way to empower them to go forward to do what God had wanted them to do. So I heard this saying from one of my pastor friends quite a few years ago, named Brian Jarrett. He said that God is more interested in who you are becoming than where you are going. Let's just think about that for a minute. We're always in a hurry. We're always trying to get where we want to get, but God is more interested in our character. He's more interested in who we're becoming in Him. And so it's okay. Like I said, the Holy Spirit was needing to come inside of them. It was needing to empower them. And that was that process of becoming who God wanted them to be. And so we don't need to despise what we're becoming, because ultimately what we're becoming is what's going to make the difference in the success of what we're going to have for God. So last week we had talked about delays and about divine detours. And today we're going to continue on. We ended off last week on the stoning of Stephen. And so this week we want to pick up in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, after the death. It says in chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged them, both men and women, and put them in prison." So the first point that we want to discuss today in our message is that difficulty is part of the deal. So this is a difficult time, but not an unexpected time for the believers. You see, Jesus told them on the Sermon on the Mount that when they were being persecuted, that the kingdom of heaven would be theirs. And when we read the end of chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned, it said that he saw heaven open and he saw Jesus. And literally at that moment, he was experiencing exactly what Jesus had said, that the kingdom of heaven was for those who were being persecuted. So it was a difficult time for them, but yet it was a great time, because even though he was about to lose his life, he was also about to step into glory and being with Jesus. And so he kept his eyes upon the ultimate goal. He kept his eyes upon what God, Jesus had ultimately had told all of them as he was teaching them, and that the heavens were theirs. Now, it didn't make it easy for the disciples, but it also was unexpected plan that God had told them. Because you see, he told them, he said, "I want you to wait in Jerusalem." And then he also said that you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, he was actually accomplishing this goal through the scattering of the disciples. So it was ultimately God's plan that persecution was going to lead into the gospel going forth ultimately to the ends of the earth. And so sometimes when we look at difficulties, you know, we say, well, what can they accomplish? Well, in this particular difficulty, it was actually the spreading of the gospel that started to happen because of this. And so, you know, we goes back to what our title is, expecting those delays, expecting those difficulties. And so many times I don't think we need to go and just look for those things to happen, but yet to say that when difficulties do happen, is it a part of God's plan? And I say that many times the difficulties are a part of God's plan, because all it goes back to what I mentioned to you before, that God is interested in more in who you're becoming than where you are going. So the difficulties are a part of that process of becoming that God wants you to be, so that you can handle the difficulties. You know, and the man that was named Saul, who was persecuting the church, he was actually going to be in the, as we're going to move on, it's going to, he's going to be one of the greatest advocates for the gospel that has ever been, you know, person that's ever done this. And he was going to experience his own persecution, even though he was the one who started the persecution. You know, being in ministry, I've experienced some difficulties. When we came here to Westlake and we came to a phenomenal church, but we also experienced a lot of difficulties in our ministry. We had some misunderstandings. We had people that left that didn't understand exactly the direction that we were going. We had financial difficulties that we experienced, but yet those things never deterred us. You know, it just helped us to grow. It helped us to trust God. It helped us to know that God was doing a great work in us. And so sometimes when we're doing ministry for God, difficulties do come, but they're not to destroy us. They're not to discourage us, but it's to put our hope and trust in God. And so those difficulties are things that over time, as you mature in Christ, that you begin to embrace those things and look for the lessons in the difficulties so that God can continue to do his work in your life. You know, maybe in your life, since you decided to follow Christ, maybe many of your friends may have left you. They may have deserted you. Maybe people have treat you a little bit different because you chose to follow after God. And I wish to say that was, you know, shouldn't happen, but the reality is that Jesus said that many people will hate you because you follow me. You're going to experience difficulties when you follow after Christ, but yet, you know, who do you cling to at this point? Who do you cling to? You know, we have the church, we have his word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus himself that we can cling to, that can encourage us and strengthen us. And God, you know, he said we're not supposed to be friends with the world, where we're supposed to be, growing in our relationship with our fellow believers. And so I want to encourage you whenever people, you know, mistreat you and talk bad about you, you know, plug in more to the church, plug into more of your godly friends so that they can encourage you so that you can continue on the journey. Because we all have a journey where he says, he who endures to the end will be saved. And God is faithful. He will complete the work that he started in your life if you just continue to trust him. And as we continue on, as we look at verse 4 of chapter 8, it says, those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. So the next point of our message here today is staying the course. So the disciples were scattered because of the persecution, and maybe they could have quit, but they decided, you know what? We've got this mandate. We've got this passion. We know that this persecution is coming. So we need to stay the course. We need to continue on. Wherever God has told us to go, we just have to keep on keeping on. And they remembered that, you know, God wanted the gospel to go beyond the walls, beyond the city of Jerusalem. And he began to scatter them. And Paul, and it says Philip here, he began to preach. He began to share the gospel. He began to allow God to use him in miraculous ways. And so many people began to get saved. Joy began to come. And I believe that it encouraged Philip to see God bless what he was doing, because, you know, he may have been a little bit afraid of his own life because people were being dragged off to prison, and they figured the only way that we're going to survive is that we leave Jerusalem, because they're dragging people off left and right. So they had to decide to go, and yet they just didn't go and hide. They went and began to preach the gospel. You see, when we experience unexpected situations and events in our lives, many times we may want to quit or go a different direction. You know, we may expect a lot of instant results in our lives, but God doesn't work that way. When God puts a passion in us, we can't be so quick to give up when we don't see success. In our world that we live in, you know, we look for instant success. You know, there's so much instant things in our lives. And if, you know, if our internet's running slow, you know, we're getting frustrated. If our keyboard locks up or we get that little circle of death, it just frustrates us. And we just keep hitting that enter button. And hopefully that it's going to, you know, it's going to eventually going to release. And we want those instant successes in our lives. But the reality is that God's not interested in instant success. He's interested in things happening and according to his time. He's interested in our obedience. And I want to just share just a small story. It's not a spiritual story, but whenever I was growing up, my dad took me deer hunting. And I was probably about 10 years old when I started deer hunting. And when I started hunting, I just began to get a passion for deer hunting. Well, for the first 9 years of deer hunting, I never shot a thing, never killed a thing. And I remember the first time I ever shot at a deer, I was so nervous that I actually shot at where the deer, I thought the deer was, instead of where the actual deer was. And then when after I shot, it startled me so bad that I fell out the deer stand. And before you think, well, you should have been wearing a harness, you should have, you know, all this, were you hurt? Well, I was in a marsh, a soft marsh, and it was so cold, I had so many clothes on that I fell and I hit my rear. And then I dropped the gun, it landed in the marsh. And when I finally got up, I picked up my gun and there was mud in the barrel. So I knew there was no way that I was going to make a shot. And as I looked over in the distance, I just saw the deer trotting away. That was frustrating for me. But I had such a passion that I just got back in the stand and began to hunt again. And literally, it was not, like I said, I was 19 years old before I actually killed my first deer. And it wasn't anything nice. Many of you have trophies on your walls, 8-point, 9-point, 10-point bucks on your walls. I just had a little doe. And it was literally until I was in my late 30s to early 40s before I actually killed an 8-point buck. But now I've got several trophies on my wall that I've killed since I was 40 years old. And if you were to look back in that and say, well, this guy should have quit. You know, a long time ago, if I would have been him, I would have quit. If I would have took me 20 years before I got killed an 8-point buck. But I had such a passion that though I didn't have success for a lot of time, a lot, I just kept on going. I kept going hunting. And eventually, I had success. And so when we look at our lives, sometimes it might take years before we have the success that we're looking for. But the difference is that when it comes to the gospel, he's the one who puts the passion in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And so eventually, if we are faithful and we continue to do what God asks us to do year after year, I believe that we're going to find success. So we want to stay the course. The disciples, they stayed the course, no matter the difficulties. And then lastly, we want to follow God's direction. Going back to our scripture in verse number 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he went out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." When we see this scripture here, literally an angel spoke to Philip and told him where to go. He gave him direction and he told him where to go, told him to go close to the chariot, hear what was going on. And in our lives, God, he wants to speak to us. You know, he may not send an angel. He might not speak in an audible voice. Most likely, he's not going to do either of those things for you. But he's going to speak through his word. He's going to speak through his spirit. He's going to speak through other people that are going to tell us what God wants us to do. and we must learn to obey. We must learn to hear his voice, and we must go where he asks us to go. And Philip, he might not know exactly where he was supposed to go, but yet God was leading him, and so he followed him. And if you look back in the Bible, there's all kind of people that God gave directions to, and they didn't know exactly all what it meant, but they just chose to follow God because they knew that God would not lead them astray, that he would lead them into his promises and the things that he wants to do for their lives. And as Christians, we need to follow after God's direction, and he's going to lead us. If you have a passion in your heart to see others discipled and others saved, then he's going to continue to lead and guide your life, and you're going to experience his grace and his peace, and you're going to experience the ability to speak into people's lives and tell them all about Jesus. You know, it's extremely important that we follow God's direction in our lives. And as I mentioned before, you know, we have many avenues for that. And we must utilize all of those things if we want to be used for God and his purposes. I want to go back here again to hunting again. And, you know, maybe some of you are interested in hunting and some of you aren't. But whenever I first started hunting with my dad, we would do a lot of marsh hunting. And as I mentioned before, and if you know anything about marshes are just land floating on water. So you gotta realize that there's a lot of holes there. There are a lot of ditches there. There are a lot of places where if you don't step in the right spot, you're going to fall and you're going to get wet. But the great thing about it was that my dad, he always went ahead. And whenever he found a hole, he would fall in it. And then he would say, don't step in that hole. And so we were able to get to the places where we were deer hunting dry while he got wet. It was because he knew the way, that he led the way. And all I had to do was follow. And for when we follow after God, he goes before us and he makes the way and he helps clear the path. And he tells us not to step that direction and don't go that way. He gives us those nudges by the Holy Spirit whenever we're not supposed to do certain things. And his job there is to for us to make to the next thing safely. And so I looked at that and I was like, that's exactly the picture of our Heavenly Father. And he's the one who's getting soaking wet while he's keeping us dry to get us to the places that God wants us to be. You know, coming back to the ministry, and I mentioned before about being a pastor in Westlake, and we were youth pastors in Baton Rouge for about 5-6 years. And we really felt in our spirits that God wanted us to step from being a youth pastor into going into being a lead pastor. And we began to look at some of the churches that were available in Louisiana, and something just stood out to us about this church in Westlake. And so we put our resume in around February or so, and then we didn't hear a response. So then we decided, well, let's just send our resume again like 2 months later and put a picture this time. And then whenever I put a picture, I called up the church and I just wanted them to know, talk to one of the elders and say, you know, I want to make sure you got my resume and that we're interested. And he's like, okay, I'll let the committee know that you're interested. And so we thought, well, man, now I've talked to the guy and I, you know, sent my picture and they know what we look like. We're going to get a phone call. Well, we got no phone call. But yet we felt like we were supposed to be there. And so we decided one Sunday to go visit the church. And at that time, we knew the guy that was interim pastor, and we talked to him afterwards and said, hey, we're just here, just check church out. We're interested. And he said, yeah, I know you guys are interested in the church, but they got this guy already that I believe he's the one, and that this is going to be any time this church is going to vote him in, and I would just go ahead and move on. Well, then next thing you know, it didn't work out, and we got a phone call from one of the elders saying, you're still interested, would you come for an interview? And we did, and then God just opened up the doors for us to come and be here, and we've been here in Lake Charles ever since. And so we sit there and we think about when God places something in our hearts and he places a passion, that we don't just give up whenever we hear no or it's not going to work out. But when God's put something in your heart, you just got to keep following after God's lead, no matter what people say. Just trust in him that he's going to make a way, that he's going to bring success, that he's going to bring the gospel forth, because you're just there to listen to his voice. And today, as we wrap up, we're thinking about our road trip, and we're thinking about the goals in front of us. And I just want to encourage you today that no matter what delays you expect, no matter what delays come your way, that God is there to empower you. God is there to go before you. And you're not on this journey alone. You know, when you go on a road trip, you bring your family with you. You bring your kids. You don't go on a road trip. You know, it's family vacation. And it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. And we do it together. And maybe you feel like you're on this Christian journey alone and you don't feel like, you know, anyone's with you. Well, I want to encourage you today that God is with you, that the church is with you, and that you have what it takes to continue on this road, this journey of one day being in heaven. You're in this journey one day to see Jesus. You're in this journey one day that though you may be experiencing difficulties, though you may be experiencing delays, that you're going to make it to the end. Don't give up. Embrace the delays. Expect delays. And yet also expect that when you get there, that God's going to be there. And when you're in that difficult place, like if you're in that marsh and you feel like everywhere you step, you're going to sink, begin to think about Christ. Begin to think about that story about my dad, that God is going before you and that you just got to keep on staying the course. You got to keep on following the direction and you're going to get to where God has for you. And so today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to continue on following after God with all of your heart. And I believe that God wants to put a passion inside of you to continue to do what he wants you to do. So if you would allow me just to pray for you today, that God would just continue to stir his passion, continue to just help you not to give up, but to trust him. Let's pray today. Jesus, we thank you that you're with us. You said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And that you said, as you told the disciples about the mandate, you said, I will be with you always till the end of the age. And so when we're following after you, let us know today, God, that you're with us, that you're always with us, Lord. I pray today that there's someone here that just doesn't feel like you're close. But I pray today as they're agreeing with me that they'll begin to feel your spirit, begin to feel and believe that you're with them and that you have a purpose and a plan for their lives and that they will make it to the end and they will accomplish great things for you today. Lord, I just thank you once again for your grace, your mercy, and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.